Good morning and welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the fastest growing segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there is something dreadfully wrong, especially destructive, about political and religious institutions, media reporting, military invasions, and crippling economic schemes. We realize that these institutions caused the problem. They are not the solution. So merely presenting the news is not enough. Our mission is to understand who is behind the tragedies that are besieging our world. Why are our political and religious leaders lying to us? And we'll also strive to predict how their actions will influence our world over the next 10 to 20 years. And that is why in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason for a change, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides the lone source of hope in our world today. His words are the only reliable opportunity to escape this exceedingly troubled world. So we're going to wield words wisely. We're going to seek answers using rhetoric, not bullets and bombs, and see if we can help, at least for a moment, understand the economic and military ruin, the political disasters that are on our horizons. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion of a lifetime, toll free, 877-300-7645. We'll, in that second segment of the program today, return to I Didn't Set a Red Line. But let me see if I can understand all of this. It's apparently okay for the extremists in Syria to have assault rifles. These civilians, it's okay for them to have rocket launchers and surface-to-air missiles. And it's all right for them to have these weapons to prosecute their grievances against their government. But it's not okay in America. Do I have that correct? Or do I sense a twinge of hypocrisy here? Yes, the United States is providing arms to Qatar and Syria that are going directly to the civilians in Syria who are using them to kill not only government troops, but all civilians in support of that government. And that's okay. And yet, in the United States, where the Constitution guarantees the right to keep and bear arms, it's not okay. Let me see if I understand this. It's okay for Saudi Arabia, for Qatar, and indirectly the United States, to arm civilians in Syria so that they can fight and kill their nation's military personnel and any civilian who supports them. But it's not okay for the government in Syria to fight back and defend itself from this onslaught of weapons. Let me see if I understand this. It's okay for the U.S. government to deprive its citizens of 15,000 lives and $6 trillion to fight and kill Islamic jihadists in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Yemen, and in Somalia. But when those same jihadists are fighting to establish an Islamic state in Syria, there's a moral imperative to go to war, not against them, but on their side. Let me see if I understand this. It's okay for Americans to kill 4,000 fundamentalist Muslim civilians with drones, all without due process, shattering their bodies while incinerating others, all at long range through video cameras. But it's not okay for someone else to kill 1,400 civilians with gas that just puts them to sleep. Let me see if I understand this. it's okay for America to ignore the fact that the nation made a bad situation worse in Afghanistan and Iraq, not to mention Egypt and Libya, through either military invasion or military meddling, so that it could claim that it has a duty now to bomb Syria. So let's just ignore the fact that everything we've done in the Islamic world has made bad situations worse. Now it's our moral imperative to bomb them some more. You know, they define insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. How is this different than being insane? Let me see if I understand this. It's okay for America to borrow money from the Chinese and the Russians to wage war against their ally, bankrupting its children evermore. Let me see if I understand this. It's appropriate to believe the U.S. government, which has absolutely no human intelligence in Syria, when they tell us that the Syrian government acted irrationally, suicidally, justifying the U.S. engaging in another war, when that same government lied to us and to the world regarding the justifications for its last two wars, and the same administration lied to us about what happened in Benghazi. Ladies and gentlemen, particularly those in America, let me make this perfectly clear. We are destroying ourselves because we are ignorant. Now, I recognize that the majority of Americans do not want us to engage in Iraq. Wishes we hadn't engaged in Iraq, do not want us to engage in Syria. It's almost 3-1 in terms of those who want us to engage in Syria and bomb them, and those who do not. But the majority of Americans elected this stunningly duplicitous, hypocritical, counterproductive president. He was elected by a majority. We cannot claim that we have no responsibility for his actions. And just yesterday, he got Republican leaders to side with him. So it's not a matter of him alone being grotesquely immoral. Both sides of the aisle. Yes, we are destroying ourselves because we are ignorant. Yahweh told us in a book named Salvation, Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We are those people. Since this is a proxy war, not unlike Vietnam was a proxy war. A proxy war means that the battleground is just a battleground of convenience for foes who actually have no claim to that territory. And Vietnam, the proxy war, was between the United States and the Soviet Union. And Afghanistan, the proxy war, was between the United States and the Soviet Union. In one case, the United States went in militarily against troops that were armed by the Soviets in Vietnam. In the other case, the United States armed the civilians to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan. Those are proxy wars. They are the worst kind. In fact, there's nothing worse than a proxy war. That means that you're willing to arm one side or the other, or go to war against one side or the other in an area that you have absolutely no jurisdiction in and no right to be in. Millions of people die in proxy wars. Well, since this is a proxy war, not unlike Vietnam, not unlike first Afghanistan, why doesn't Saudi Arabia and Qatar, who are the countries responsible for taking a peaceful demonstration and making it a civil war, why don't they launch the attack? It's okay for them to provide the weapons that lead to 100,000 deaths but it's not appropriate for them to deal with the consequences of their actions? Tell me, why should we punish Assad, but not punish the nation that indoctrinated and supplied 80% of the suicide bombers for 9/11? In that case, they killed 3,000 American civilians. Saudi Arabia supplied them, they indoctrinated them. And now we should bomb on behalf of Saudi Arabia? But we did not hold Saudi Arabia accountable? Then? Why are we providing billions of aid and weapons to nations who want to destroy us? Why are we trying to saw Israel into two, giving half of it to the terrorists who want us dead? Would love to hear a reasonable response, an answer to any of those questions. Kerry said, this is not the time for armchair isolationism. This is not the time to be spectators to a slaughter. But did Kerry like it better? When the United States decided to prosecute World War II by killing tens of thousands of people a night, burning them alive, and firebombings of cities in Japan and Germany, did he think that was better than being a spectator to the slaughter? Does the United States think that when it sends its drones over Pakistan and over Yemen and kills 4,000 civilians, that that's better than being a spectator to the slaughter? When the United States invaded Iraq, which led to the deaths of a million Iraqis, that was better than being a spectator to a slaughter? When does doing the wrong thing somehow make it the right response? What interest do we have between the two brutal and despicable sides that are at war with each other in Syria? When did the United States Constitution say that we should engage in war on behalf of brutal, disgusting militants who want us dead? Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. The President of the United States put his foot in his mouth, which is, I guess, better than him flapping his lips. But nonetheless, I think it's appropriate to hold him accountable. So Scott has pulled together a press conference. We're going to listen to about a minute and a half of this press conference where the President of the United States drew a red line. Then we're going to listen to a clip of a press conference today where the President of the United States says that, no, I didn't draw a red line. And then we have a little comment on both of those two statements after it. So let's go ahead and listen to the President of the United States draw his red line.
I have, at this point, not ordered military engagement in the situation, but the point that you made about chemical and biological weapons is critical. That's an issue that doesn't just concern Syria. It concerns our close allies in the region, including Israel. It concerns us. We cannot have a situation where chemical or biological weapons are falling into the hands of the wrong people. We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground, that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. That would change my calculus. That would change my equation.
It's somehow under
state. In a situation this this volatile, I wouldn't say that I am absolutely confident. What I'm saying is we're monitoring that situation very carefully. We have put together a range of contingency plans. We have communicated in no uncertain terms with every player in the region that that's a red line for us and that there would be enormous consequences if we start seeing movement on the chemical weapons front or the use of chemical weapons. That would change my calculations significantly.
All right, so that was the President of the United States many months ago, drawing his red line not only once but twice in the statement. And this now is the President of the United States today denying that he said those words.
Have you made up your mind whether to take action against Syria, whether or not you have a congressional resolution approved? Is a strike needed in order to preserve your credibility for when you set these sort of red lines? And were you able to enlist the support of the Prime Minister here for support in Syria?
Let me unpack the question. First of all, I didn't set a red line. The world set a red line. The world set a red line when governments representing 98% of the world's population said the use of chemical weapons are abhorrent and passed a treaty forbidding their use even when countries are engaged in war. Congress set a red line when it ratified that treaty. Congress set a red line when it indicated that in a piece of legislation titled the Syria Accountability Act that some of the horrendous things that are happening on the ground there need to be answered for. And so when I said in a press conference that my calculus about what's happening in Syria would be altered by the use of chemical weapons, which the overwhelming consensus of humanity says is wrong, that wasn't something I just kind of made up. I didn't pluck it out of thin air. But there's a reason for it.
Wow. Before we play the next clip, what I want to say here is it is normal for people to lie. People lie all the time. It's normal for politicians to lie. They are especially prone to lie. But this is not a casual lie. He didn't just make a mistake and misspeak. He had thought about this question and his response to this question and did everything he could to change history so that his statement no longer mattered and that he had a way of shedding all responsibility for this question. This was absolutely planned and perpetrated to deliberately deny his own culpability. This, folks, isn't funny. But this following clip here, perhaps, Scott, you can introduce it. It is funny.
Yeah, it's just Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam. It just reminds me of this whole thing. We might actually have to play it when we get back, but it reminds me of the whole situation.
Yes, indeed. We have a President of the United States who wants to go bomb a country because his own credibility is at stake, and his response to that is to lie to us and to the world. He happened to be in Europe at a conference, and with the microphones of the world press in his face, he embarrassed the United States.
Start walking, you doggone long-eared galoot.
Just a minute, partner. You can't talk to me like that. Them's fighting words.
Them's fighting words.
I dare you to step over this line.
Okay, I'm a stepping.
I dare you to step over this one. This one. This one. That one. That one.
Oh, let's just pretend I never said that there was a red line in the first place. You know, his first statement was about the concern that the weapons of these chemical weapons would get into the wrong hands. Well, the wrong hands would be into the rebels' hands because they are suicide bombers. They would use them. They probably were the ones that used them even in Syria against their own people. And it's obvious that that is the case because they had everything to gain. They have every expectation of the current situation in the world today. And the Assad regime had everything to lose and nothing to gain by their deployment. So to fall into the wrong hands, you tell me how bombing the Assad government for 60 days, which is the amount of time the U.S. Congress has approved at the Senate Intelligence Committee. Maybe it's the Armed Services Committee, but one of the Senate committees has voted to approve a 60-day bombing spree of Syria. Now, I want you to tell me how you think that it is possible that we can bomb the Syrian government and their military and not increase the likelihood that these chemical weapons fall into the hands of the jihadists. Another comment there that was troubling. He used calculus twice. Interesting in that calculus is an amoral concept. It does not have a conscience. It isn't capable of determining right and wrong, good or bad, whether or not something is beneficial or counterproductive. And calculus is a unique form of math. It is a form of math where there is no right answer. Calculus was designed on curves to provide the best guess. The world, by the way, is opposed to unilateral military assaults, and yet the United States wishes to do so. The world is opposed to atomic weapons, and yet the United States owns the most of them and is the only nation to deploy them. The world is opposed to mines, and yet we don't go and bomb people when they deploy mines. The world is opposed to suicide bombers, and yet the United States doesn't go bomb the suicide bombers. Why is it that there is the American people are being beguiled into believing that there's a causal link between somebody doing something that was harmful and that the moral response is to kill and destroy ever more people? What is the where is the connection between bad behavior and the United States being the ultimate punisher of bad behavior, and that the punishment is let's kill more people? Reuters reports that President Barack Obama has failed so far to convince most Americans that the United States should launch a military strike against Syria in response to suspected chemical weapons attack by the Syrian government. A Reuters poll showed today some 56% of Americans surveyed said the United States should not intervene in Syria. Only 19% supported action. Those numbers are unchanged over the last 3 weeks, even after the so-called proof that we have that the Assad regime killed 1,429 little babies and little girls. The numbers are almost 3-1 in favor of let's not do this. That would be stupid. Some 25% said, you know, we just don't know enough to even offer a comment. The poll showed that respondents were a little more likely to support a strike if they were specifically asked about chemical weapons before the question was raised. 29% then said, up from 19%, that the United States should intervene. Imagine, people who didn't learn the lesson of the Iraq War, where the United States went through a dog and pony show in favor in front of the world at the United Nations, telling the world of all of the proof that they had that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and therefore it justified the United States invasion, and everything they said was a lie. And now they're going to believe the government this time? You're going to believe the same administration who deliberately and knowingly lied about Benghazi and why the American ambassador and three others were killed there, who they were killed by, what the motivation was for the killing, and never apologized for that lie? And you're going to believe this man? You're going to believe this man who drew his red line and then said, I never drew a red line? The U.S. public's reluctance, according to the Reuters articles, to get involved in this in the Syrian war closely mirrors public sentiment in the United Kingdom, where Parliament last week voted down a motion to support military action. In the United States, 65% of those surveyed in a separate tracking poll agreed with the statement that the problems of Syria are none of our bloody business. In the United Kingdom, a parallel poll found that 58% agreed with that statement. We do not have any vested interest in Syria. We do not have an ally in Syria. There is nothing that is happening in Syria that pertains to the United States. In fact, the battle between Sunnis and Shias in Syria, the battle between Saudi Arabia and Iran in Syria, the battle that in Syria that the United States caused by invading Iraq and giving Iraq to Iran, that happens to be the throttling mechanism to keep a united Islamic front from attacking Israel. It's the very throttling mechanism that Yahweh told us about when he spoke of Ishmael's descendants. For those who do not know, Muhammad claims that Muslims are descendants of Ishmael. And Yahweh told Ishmael's mother of Ishmael's offspring that they would be wild asses of men. He's speaking of today's Muslims. That their hand would be raised against their brother's hand would be raised against him, and they would live in hostility with the whole world. The throttling mechanism that is keeping Muslims from destroying the United States, from destroying Israel, is their rage against one another. It is in our interest, actually, for them to continue to fight one another. Because when they're fighting one another, they're not attempting to kill us. The moment the United States engages on one side or the other, both sides will hate us all the more. That's exactly what happened in Egypt, where both sides hate the United States. It's what happened in Libya. It is what happened in Afghanistan. It is what happened in Iraq. It is obvious that it will happen again. Every time, this is a quote from Dolly Benson in Arkansas, or Arkansas, as some would like to call it. Every time we get involved in somebody else's mess, we just get deeper into debt and nothing really happens. They go right back to being exactly as they've been for hundreds of years. Look at Vietnam. We sacrificed 60,000 American lives and our nation's treasury and our nation's credibility, and it was as if we were never there. Look at Afghanistan. We sacrificed American lives and treasure and credibility, and the moment we leave, it will be as if we were never there. Look at Iraq. We took a country and we broke it. We took a country that had a very minimal amount of terrorism and no al-Qaeda presence, and we made it a hellhole, a place where 1,000 people a month are murdered by suicide bombers. We know that after a decade of conflict, the American people are tired of war, Secretary of State John Kerry said. Yeah, after a decade of conflict in Afghanistan and Iraq, American people are tired of war. Believe me, I am too, yes, he says as he calls America to another war. But fatigue does not resolve us of our responsibility. Just longing for peace does not necessarily bring it about. So what the United States is proposing is that the ultimate olive branch for peace is deploying the largest military on earth against Syria. Bombing it to pieces is the way that we're going to achieve peace. We have a moral imperative to destroy and to kill. May I remind you that the first jihadists who engaged in the Syrian civil war were from Iraq. The Sunnis in Iraq were having a difficult time opposing the great military might that the United States had empowered the Shias with in Iraq. And so they decided to use the weapons that America had given them, and they crossed the border from Iraq into Syria and they were the first to arm what was at that point a peaceful celebration. Let me tell you what those same jihadists did today. They set off a series of car bombs across the Iraqi capital, mostly in Shiite districts, mostly in civilian areas like marketplaces. 60 people died. 10 times that were mutilated. The same jihadists that we are going to bomb on behalf of shot 16 members of the same Shiite family dead before blowing up two neighborhood homes overnight in Iraq. The attack took place when gunmen murdered 6 children and 8 women. They broke into a house. They shot the father 4 times in the head. They killed the 2 brothers. They killed the cousin of the man who is reporting this now. And they were shooting everyone they saw. It is not immediately clear who carried out the attack, but Sunni Islamist militants, including an Al-Qaeda affiliate, have been striking with ferocity over the last few years. How are those Sunni jihadists any different than the ones that we find in Syria? How is the Nusra Victory Front any different than these Sunni jihadists that are killing women and children in Iraq? Why are we siding with them? One of the things that we make a point of on this program is to clearly demonstrate that we are not for either political party in the United States, neither Republicans nor Democrats. And one of the reasons is because they are both the corrupt. It's very much like the Syrian war, where the rebels are amongst the most savage people on planet Earth, probably the least desirable people on the planet to be in charge of a country, particularly a country that wishes to wage war with Israel and has such a powerful military. There's probably no worse scenario than having them in charge of Syria. And Assad is a ruthless dictator. Well, in the United States today, Boehner and House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, both pledged their support to military action in Syria. So we have the leaders of the Republican Party being equally culpable, equally grotesquely immoral as the head of the Democratic Party in Washington, the president. Just the same. No difference. Now, votes are expected to be held next week in the U.S. Senate and the House. The Republican leadership says that it indicated the votes will be, this is something very unique, by the way, in Washington, there'll be conscience votes. It almost never happens in Washington. Conscience votes. Meaning they will not seek to influence members' votes on party lines. Almost every vote in Washington, you know, you think you have Congress and people, you elect people, and they vote their conscience. No. You either vote with your caucus, with your party, or you're drummed out of the institution. You get no funding for re-election, and you get no appointments that enable you to sit on any committee of any merit, and you get to sponsor no legislation. So you either vote as you're told to vote by the head of your party, or you're out. It is extraordinarily rare to have a conscience vote, which speaks great volumes, meaning they will not seek to influence members' votes on party lines. All the same, it would have been a big blow to Obama if he had not secured the backing of the top 2 Republicans. You know, this is a case, let him hang himself. George Bush is to blame for the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq, squandering $6 trillion of American treasure, bankrupting the country for our children, leading to the death of 1 million Iraqis and 10,000 Americans. That stain is on his soul and the Republicans who stood behind him. If the United States is going to continue to aid the jihadists as we did in Libya, as we did in Egypt, as we are now on the cusp of doing in Syria, let that stain be on this president and his party. Why accept blame? Why become culpable? The Republican House leadership said that these will be conscience votes, but Bonner said, I believe that my colleagues should support this call for action. The president said strikes aimed at punishing the use of chemical weapons should hurt Assad's forces, while U.S. action would bolster his opponents, though the White House insisted it is not seeking regime change. All right, so you're going to punish one side and bomb them into submission, and then you're going to supply ever more weapons to the other side, but you're not interested in regime change. I mean, just think for a moment. Put yourself in Assad's position. He watched as Saddam Hussein crawled out of that hole in the ground, and that as he was hung, that was his friend as a result of the United States actions. He watched as Muammar Gaddafi was brutalized and savaged in a grovel after the United States began bombing and didn't stop bombing until the jihadists had prevailed. He watched those events. He knows exactly what's at store once the first American bomb is dropped. Why is it that we think for a second that he won't go off with a blaze of glory, killing Jews in the name of Islam, killing Sunnis in the name of Shia? That is the most likely response. Why is it that we're not smart enough to figure out that what happened to us in Afghanistan, what happened to us in Iraq, what happened to us in Libya and in Egypt is going to happen here, where if you depose a secular dictator because he's ruthless, that what you get in the Islamic world is a religious government that is far, far more cruel and barbaric. You get the government of suicide bombers. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break.